Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you on this Monday, brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, RV, motorcycle, boat, whatever it may be. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The best in the business, without question. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Maybe the worst officiated championship weekend since Super Bowl 40 when the Steelers beat the Seahawks. Wow, that was bad. The Eagles are in. They've got Kansas City. And I think it has all the makings of being a great Super Bowl. This Eagles team is a far more complete team with fewer weaknesses than the one that won the Super Bowl in 2017. They're just a more complete team with fewer weaknesses than that team that won it. Now, they're going to have to do it again, put it together in another day. In Glendale, that's what makes it fun, because you don't know on a given day how a team's going to play. I will say this, they cannot win the game, in my opinion, if Jalen Hurts plays the way he did yesterday. Now, Hurts, to his credit, did not make the big mistake. He did not fumble it. He did not throw an interception. But please, you know, put the pom-poms down. He didn't play well. Even the balls that were caught yesterday, there, how many were low? Where his receivers bailed him out? I mean, even the pass to Smith, which was the beginning of the adventure in officiating yesterday, that was like 7 hours of, like, I don't want to show this at the clinic. Even that was a bad throw. I mean, Smith went up and attempted to make a great catch, but it was a bad throw. The one he had A.J. Brown wide open on, he missed him completely. The Smith play on fourth down, first of all, Nick Sirianni makes the right call. He goes for it on fourth down. All right. They go for the bundle. Great call. Love the call. All right. And I could tell right away he dropped it. I'm like, okay. I said, San Francisco is going to get good field position out of it. And they go, it's a catch. I'm like, it's a catch? I could see the ball hit the ground. I'm like, what the heck? And then, of course, you could tell he did. He goes running back to the huddle. All right, let's go. And this is where the system is supposed to pay off. In fact, Nick Sirianni was forced to waste a timeout later in the half because the system didn't work. They're supposed to go to New York right away, and they could tell. And I'm watching on TV. I'm going, he dropped it. He didn't have it. And then Kyle Shanahan makes a mistake. He does not challenge it. That is all on him. But it's also on New York, too. Guys, you're supposed to correct this. And the Hassan Reddick play, Nick Sirianni does not need to use a timeout there. He was forced to, or, you know, throw the challenge flag. That should have been in New York corrected right away. I don't get what they're doing. And then we're not even up to the Kansas City game yet. That was bizarro world.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
So the first touchdown the Eagles got should not have counted. And San Francisco would have had the ball. Was it 29-yard play? I think, which is what, one? It's like 20 to 25% of the yardage that Hurts threw for yesterday on that one play. They would have had the ball up at, what, the 40-something yard line? Yikes. I mean, I don't know why Kyle Shanahan did not challenge it, but he should not have had to challenge it. It should have gone to the quick system in New York, right? Now, of course, let me guess. When he made the catch right away, you thought it was a catch, right?
At first, but then when I saw the second... No, but then after the second replay...
Of course you did. I mean, come on. Watch the game, will you? Come on.
But on the second replay, I saw...
You cheated your backside off to get to the Super Bowl. You cheated. Okay, I got it. Okay, you guys... I mean, you know, there's no ethics with you people. I'm kidding, of course. Now, here's the other part. The NFL needs to revisit something else that has nothing to do with the winning and losing of this game. Zero. They've got to revisit the third quarterback being available. That rule was in place from 1991 to 2010. And then, you know, they dropped it. They had good reasons for dropping it. You know, they expanded the rosters to 53, the whole thing. But like San Francisco, this would have made no difference in the game at all. Zero. Okay. But geez, you're behind. I don't know. What was the score when they were behind? 21-7?
At that point,
Johnson gets the concussion. He's out. And I mean, if you were to tell me going into the game that Brock Purdy would be 100% in passing, I would have told you they lost. But it turns out he was 100%. He was 4-4. It's like all they're doing is running the ball. I'm just sitting. I left midway through the game. I had work to do. I said, you know what? I might as well get my work done. This thing is almost like is comically over. They're playing the game with one hand tied behind their back. I mean, you get lucky in a situation like that. The Eagles are a terrifically talented team and playing great, but they got lucky. I mean, and they faced a team that started the game with their third quarterback, and I picked Philadelphia to win, as you know. I also picked Kansas City to win. Gee, who did I say would be the key player in the game? I'm trying to think. Oh, that's right. I said Chris Jones. Okay. You guys don't listen to the show, do you? All right.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
But it's hard to play that way. In fact, it's impossible to play that way. The third quarterback would have been Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, I doubt he can even move, but he could stand back in the shotgun and throw it at least. Like, okay, here we go. Like, guys, this is going to be all quick game stuff, but let's go. But they may have to revisit that. I only saw it happen once in a game where the third quarterback had to be used. Have you?
I can't say it's been that often, if any. I mean, that was pretty bizarre stuff yesterday.
I've only seen it one time where the third quarterback had to, like, in an emergency, okay, now you have to play. Right? And believe it or not, Mertzi, this is for you. It was a Chicago Bears day. Chicago Bears game. I want to say the quarterback's name was Haney, and he came into the game. And, again, of course, he did almost nothing. But at least he could throw the ball. That was bizarre yesterday. I mean, and the Eagles did not have to do much. I mean, Reddick was the best player on either team yesterday.
Yes, he was.
He was phenomenal. Played great. And I don't get what San Francisco was doing.
Me neither.
At all. I mean, McClinchy's really good. I mean, like, McClinchy is a Pro Bowl caliber right tackle. And they put a tight end on him. On Reddick? That's like when teams used to put running backs to pick up Lawrence Taylor his first 2 years. Like, what are you doing? Like, that made no sense to me at all. Because, I mean, he took the tight ends, like, he ragdolled them. Excuse me, I've got to get to this guy right here. Could you please, I mean, you know, I know you're trying to do something, but you got to move. Excuse me. And Reddick was the best player on the field. He played great. The Eagle offense, although I'll say this, Lane Johnson really struggled with Bosa yesterday. He really did. And I'm sure Lane Johnson came out of it okay, but he didn't. I mean, Bosa had him going back. I mean, backwards. And Hurts had to move more. And, you know, Hurts has no problem moving. He had to move more than he normally has to because of that. And that's because Bosa's just a great player. But Lane Johnson really struggled with him yesterday. But that's average. Most tackles struggle with Nick Bosa. But it didn't matter. I mean, when you're sitting there and you could, I mean, I think George Kittle said they were essentially down to 15 plays. I mean, I'm watching them try to run the ball on four straight plays on a fourth down. Like, on it, I'm sat there. This is unwatchable. You know, and I'm just doing that as a casual. Okay, I'm interested to see who goes to the Super Bowl. No dog in the hunt. You know, for all of you Eagle fans, you sat there and went, "Oh, this is great." And I'm sitting there going, "Oh, this is bad football." And the Eagles made no mistakes. None, zip, zil. I mean, they made, you know, and that's how they played. Like I said, this is a more talented team with really fewer weaknesses than the one that won the title over the Patriots. They couldn't tell if the ball hit the wire on the punt. Like, okay.
I honestly couldn't tell either, but I mean,
nobody could tell. Yeah. Nobody could tell. And you can't guess at it, so you know, it is very possible that he hit a lousy punt. it's very possible.
Yeah, because he was lousy. He's overall been pretty lousy, but he was really lousy yesterday, Brett Kern.
So
hopefully the Eagles can get Aaron Sipos back.
No offense, but he hardly ever has to do it.
that's true.
When does he have to punt? I mean,
fair point.
He doesn't have to punt much. I mean, really.
I mean, if you're complaining about the punter, you're in pretty good spots. I get that.
It's like, hey. When your punter's the player of the game, you got...
Yeah, and I've been in that spot before. I'd much rather it this way around.
You got some issues. All right. Then the Kansas City game, the fifth down thing. The funny thing is, I saw I did see when the play was running, I saw the official run in from the side. I did see that. I'm like going, okay, what's going on here? Why is he running in like that? Because, I mean, the officials aren't moving before the snap, so why is he running? But they ran the play. You've got to be able to overcome something like that as an officiating crew instead of saying, I'm sorry, that was a mirage. You can't do it. The Sky Moore punt return. I mean, there's a block in the back. It's like, okay, that's not good. But the play on the sideline, you've got people saying Mahomes flopped. He did not flop.
No, that was a correct call.
I mean, Mahomes has both feet out of bounds. All right, I'm sorry. He made a mistake.
But they did miss a holding call on one of the KC's offensive linemen that same play. It was a blatant hold. So wow. I will say that. But yes, that was the correct call.
I mean, on the touchdown run by Miles Sanders, or which one? The one where Kelsey pulled out and Kelsey didn't block anybody; he had to go around him. I mean, the Eagles held on that play. You can see it inside. So, I mean, you know, it happens all the time. Just depends on what you can and can't see. Was it Miles that ran that one in? I think it was, right?
He had two of the three.
He had two of them. It was the one where, boom, he comes out. They pull Kelsey out.
Yeah, that was Miles' second touchdown.
Yeah.
Yes,
which
that made it 14-7.
Again, phenomenal that a center gets himself out there like that. I mean, Kelsey pulls. He's the best pulling center I've seen since Kevin Mawai, who was the great center for the Jets back in the day. And Kelce gets himself out there, and I can't remember who it was for San Francisco. I had to run around him. It looks like it was like a basketball pick. You know, you got to go under or go over the pick. And Kelce gets out there. He didn't touch him, but the guy's going around. And, of course, Miles is like, yeah, excuse me, I got stuff to do. But you look at the inside part of it, the Eagles held. And it was on the whomever your left guard is, on the pull, he grabs.
Wow, that'd be Landon Dickerson, yeah.
Right, okay, and he grabs. Okay, that but see, that stuff happens. That's why you're saying, well, there was a blatant hold on the play. Well, there are holds on a lot of plays because everybody's twisting and turning all the time. You know, it's just the way the nature of it is, and you're allowed now because you can put your hands up. If a guy twists and turns in a certain way, now, do I call the Dickerson hold? No, because it has nothing to do with the success of the play. Okay? I wouldn't call that. Because it has nothing to do with the success of the play. Now, did the Eagles gain an advantage by him doing that? No. They didn't. Because even if Dickerson doesn't do it, Sanders is going to score anyway. So it doesn't, you don't call that. So I, you know. But the Bengals game was the Chiefs game was a bizarre. I mean, these are the fifth and sixth best officiating crews in the championship game. These are not the second and third. Okay? You're saying, well, how can you say that? Easily. If the four that are under consideration for the Super Bowl are working the previous weekend and the best of that group gets the Super Bowl assignment, doesn't that tell you that's the 1 through 4 groups?
That would be correct. But did I
well,
not
thank you. I appreciate that.
But did I not say you. That these officials that were signed for this game was gonna be a problem, especially Ron Torbert? That guy should not be allowed to officiate, period, let alone a playoff game.
And they kept losing track of the clock all the time. I mean, twice they started it at 10 because they lost track, something got fouled up. It's like everything was like bizarre in that game. I mean, it was just really weird. I mean, the Eagles, they could have botched up 12 things and the Eagles would have won the game. I mean, the 49ers were reduced to a pop gun offense. I mean, once the 49ers fell behind, I mean, Purdy only played, I mean, he got hurt on the sixth play, offensive play of the game for San Francisco. I mean, now you get your fourth-string quarterback in there? What are your odds of winning now? I mean, you couldn't even win with your second-string quarterback, and you don't have many weaknesses. Your second-string quarterback's 0-2. What do you think the fourth-string guy's going to do against that defensive unit? No shot. I mean, essentially what you did was, when that happened, the fourth stringer came in, you effectively took George Kittle, Debo Samuel, Ayuk. You took them out of the game. Jennings. They're all out of the game now. Right? I mean, you've now taken them out of the game. They have no chance. And then when Johnson gets the concussion and Purdy comes back in and can't throw, Kittle's out of the game. They ran a reverse to him once. They tried to get the ball to Samuel a couple of times as a runner, right? Jennings is out of it totally. Ayuk's out of it totally. What are you going to do? And there is no way in heck that if Garoppolo's able to play in the game as the third and they change the rule, the Eagles still win the game. Right? But at least you would have had a quarterback that at least could play quarterback. How about that? I mean, they've got to take a long, hard look at that rule because almost everybody's dressing two. Because the Eagles, I mean, if say something happened to Jalen Hurts and then Minshew came in and Minshew gets hurt, what are you going to do?
Yep, exactly right.
If Mahomes gets hurt and Henny gets hurt, then what do the Chiefs do?
But the NFL also needs to go over this point system and how they distribute the officials and things like that. The whole thing has been a mess. Yeah, it's not just because of this year. It's always been a mess. I've never liked the fact that you're mixing up officials during the postseason because they were the best at this position. Keep everybody the same, number one. And number two, enough with this point system.
I agree with that. Yeah. The point, I don't mind a point system if you're grading. I do have a problem with Wally Anderson being in the command center. Again.
Oh, yeah, New York had a really bad day yesterday. There's no question about it.
Well, they should have intervened on the Smith play. But Nick Sirianni was forced to waste a timeout to challenge, which then he won, so he didn't lose it. But he shouldn't have been in that spot. They should have been able to look at it because you could see right away that Reddick caused the fumble. The Eagles recovered it. I mean, I thought the system was supposed to rectify that.
And even what happened with giving KC the extra third down. Can't New York buzz in if something's really that wrong with the clock?
Well, that was on the field. I mean, again, the official on the field did that. That wouldn't be something that New York could really do much about.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business. Bundles, they'll do everything they can to save you money. They're the pros, and great people to deal with because they're just good people. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online, sunburymotors.com. Two best teams in the NFL will play each other. They were both the number one seeds. They both had the same record during the course of the season. And they will play each other in the Super Bowl. Now, one's exponentially more banged up than the other. The Eagles look like they came through yesterday's game relatively unscathed. Right? I don't recall anybody getting banged up in that game. They had one offensive lineman. I mean, Dickerson went out for a little bit but came back.
Yeah, that's the only one.
It.
Yep.
Yeah, so they got out of the game relatively unscathed, which is great. They didn't have to expend a lot of energy to win because once San Francisco ran out of quarterbacks, San Francisco couldn't run any plays, and the Eagles didn't have to be adventurous. I mean, in the end, it ended up being, time-wise, a little shorter game, right?
Because, I think it was. Yeah, the game was done by like 6:15.
Yeah, and the reason is simple. They're running the ball. Everybody was running the ball. I mean, the 49ers, despite being behind, had to run it. They had no other choice. And the Eagles were looking at the clock saying, keep running it. That's our choice. So that was the story. And The Eagles have been building to this point, and now they have reached the promised land. One more to get. You got to put it together, all together, one more time. Now, the Chiefs came out of the game. Mahomes looked like he came out okay. And the interesting thing about Mahomes is he didn't miss a single rep all week. I mean, he practiced every rep. He refused to be held out. I give him credit for that. They lost Tony during the game. They lost Hardman during the game. And then they lost Snead to a concussion during the game. Snead, of all of them, Snead's the one that he'll be back. The other ones, I can't tell. I can't tell what. But Snead should be back. Now they'll need him because they play it. They have the defense for the Chiefs is a very young group. Snead is the veteran. And it's interesting. Heck of a match. If they can get their guys back, then we'll see. But the Chiefs are a very young football team. I mean, I think of the 24 guys. They had 22 guys available on defense yesterday. 8 were rookies. That's young. I mean, that is a young group. Now, they've got a full season under their belt. But at the same time, they've, you know, let's face it, you go to this Super Bowl deal, it's a little bit different because of the media and so forth. Now, they've got a lot of talented people in there. You know how highly I think of Isaiah Pacheco, because he was at Rutgers, and every time Penn State played them, I kept thinking, okay, this is the guy you got to stop. I think very highly of George Karlaftis, who was at Purdue and was a terrific player at Purdue. In the second half of the season, he got to be really good. He was their first-round pick. He is a heck of a player. And then Trent McDuffie, who was their other first-round pick this year out of Washington, terrific player. But they are a young team on defense. They have I know you're worried about your punter. The Chiefs punter, Townsend, is tremendous. Conditions are no issue because they're playing it in Glendale. And there you go. You're all excited now. You're ready to play now.
I know. This is going to be a long 2 weeks. But it'll be a fun 2 weeks, too. As I said on Friday, from an Eagles perspective, I think the Bengals would have been a slightly better matchup. But even so, I think the Eagles match up well with the Chiefs in this case. But from a talk show perspective, Eagles-Chiefs is a tremendous matchup, especially for this area. I mean, you talk about, I mean, there's Brett Veach alone. You already have him as the GM of the Chiefs, Mount Carmel kid. And, of course, intern with the Eagles. That's how he got started under Reed. They have the Kelce brothers playing each other. Reed, of course, facing the Eagles. This is a fun Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, and that's all stuff. I love the fact that Brett Veach is from Mount Carmel. So let's put that aside. The other stuff I could care less about, as you know. I don't care that Andy Reid used to coach there. It's like, okay, that's nice. It's like, okay, Tom Coughlin used to coach for Bill Belichick. Did I care? No, all I cared about is what players does he have and how good of a coach is he. There's nobody, I mean, is there anybody even on the roster that played for Andy Reid?
Yeah, actually. Brandon Graham is one of them. He was drafted, redrafted him in 2012. I think he might be the only one. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. Yeah, I think Graham would be the only one that played under Reed.
See, I mean, I know people, it's the storyline, and these used to drive the suit nuts. I don't care about the storyline. All I care about is the matchups. That's all I care about. Micah Shrewsbury is going back to Purdue Wednesday night. Now, do you think that's my storyline going into the game?
No.
I mean, will it get mentioned? Sure, it'll get mentioned. I mean, Micah's parents are going to be there. Molly's parents are going to be there. Okay, yeah, that's fine. That has nothing to do with winning and losing the game.
Owen Cox is another one that was drafted by Reed. Sorry.
Who?
Fletcher Cox.
Oh, cool. Neat. Okay, great. See, but I don't care about that stuff. That means nothing to me. I mean, there's so much movement in the NFL all the time. Everybody's moving all the time. I mean, it's, you know, it's like any pro league. And it's like I said, Mike is going back to Purdue on Wednesday night. That doesn't, I mean, it might mean something to him. I don't think so. He's now Penn State's coach. I mean, obviously, the bottom line is Penn State is facing the unanimous number one ranked team in the country. If Penn State can win, I can tell you right now it's worth five. Simple as that. It would be on the road. It would be against the number one ranked team. The jump would be tremendous. That's what the game means. See, I'm always somebody that is like in the moment. Like the Kansas City Cincinnati game was hard at times to listen to yesterday, because every time I turned around, they were referencing last year's game. I don't care about last year's game. Do you? What has last year's game got to do with this year's game? They just referenced their eight rookies playing for Kansas City. They didn't play in last year's game. Mahomes was completely healthy going into last year's game. This time he was wounded. Clyde Edwards-Helaire was the running back last year. Sure, it's Isaiah Pacheco. I mean, that's the part that for some reason people can't grasp. And this goes back to a great conversation I had with Russ Rose. When they were in the run of winning four consecutive titles, right? Penn State women's volleyball. And three of them were essentially, for the most part, with the same personnel. Right? Same setter, same big hitter. Right? And I said, what are you trying to impart to them about this? And he says, Steve, there's no carryover. He says, everybody is an entity unto themselves. This is the new team. They are not last year's team. They can't take any of last year's wins and apply it. It's not a bank. They can't apply it to this year. He says, they can't sit there and just walk in and go, yeah, okay, you know, we're the champions, roll over. He says they're going to play harder against you. Was Alicia Glass was the setter, and Hodges was the big hitter. Two Olympians, by the way. Two gold medalist Olympians. Okay? Was it Megan Hodges and Alicia Glass? Right? And they had that combination. Right? And he was taught, he says, so I tell them, he says, look, you're 0-0. Now this team, whatever year it was, 07, 08, or whatever it was, at that time, he says, the 06-07 team cannot help the 07-08 team. Can't. Now, this is from Russ Rose. This isn't me making this up. This is me sitting down and having a one-on-one conversation with one of the great coaches in the history of collegiate sports. Now, that's why every time I sit down and have this kind of conversation with Cale Sanderson, I'm in that listening mode, trying to, you know, find out, you know, what he thinks and why he thinks it. Because he's the best. You know, it was great. The sellout, by the way, was great. The atmosphere was great the other night. The win was tremendous over Iowa on Friday night. Now, from a casual point of view, it wasn't a lot. I mean, when you get into matchups like that, you know, and I've mentioned this before, Penn State had the ability to beat Iowa at its game, and that's going to be frustrating for Iowa. because Iowa is not a daring program. They're a very defensive wrestling program. And Penn State was able to beat them at that style. I mean, do you realize that Iowa did not score an offensive point after 149? And I believe the only offensive points Penn State scored before 157 was by Roman Bravo Young. I mean, there are only really three big scorers in the entire night. Spencer Lee, who was great, Roman Bravo Young, who was awesome, and Brooks, who was tremendous. That really was about it. You think about it, out of 10 bouts, everything else was very defensive, 1-2-0, you know. I mean, it was very, there really weren't a lot of takedowns on. But again, you've got to do what you need to do to win. They won, and that's the atmosphere awesome. The setting was awesome. The matchup was awesome. The win was awesome on Friday night. Now they've got Ohio State coming up this week, and that will be in Columbus. And I think that set the tone for the entire weekend, don't you, man?
We can call it that, sure. It was a nice start to the weekend.
Well, but you see what I'm saying about carryover from one to the other. I mean, you got to be an NT unto yourself. That's why it's nice that Andy Reid was an important part of Eagles history, but he's been in Kansas City a long time. He didn't leave 2 weeks ago. I mean, he's been in Kansas City a long time.
Yeah, it's been 10 years now. I know.
Like, a decade's a long time. I mean, is Luke 10 years old?
Not yet, no.
No. He's still got 7 years to go to get there. Okay, let's think about that. Put that into perspective. You feel like you've had your son forever, right?
For the most part, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And he's 7 years away from being 10. So it's been a long time since Andy Reid was a part of the Philadelphia scene. I know it's the simplistic thing to do. Sports is covered simplistically. There's, you know, it's I get it. I get it. Look at this storyline, and he's going to have to relive all his Philadelphia. He's going to have to relive the Donovan McNabb Super Bowl. He's going to have to, blah, 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 blah. All right. And it's just a lot of blah, blah. And I know you love blah, blah. I just sit there and go, okay, what are the matchups here? Okay, who's going to cover Smith? Who's going to cover Brown? All right. Who's going to cover Valdez-Scantling? Who's going to cover Kelsey? All right. You know, can either team run the ball in this game? I mean, see, that's what I'm thinking going in. I don't think about that other stuff. Okay, coming up on Wednesday night, do you think I'm going to think about Micah versus Matt Painter? Micah and Matt Painter were together for a long time. I mean, he had two different stints at Purdue with the Celtics in the middle. Right? Do you think that's going to be a big deal to me in the game on Wednesday night? Or is it going to be a big deal to me as to how do you double Zach Edey?
Once you're into the game, the latter. Yeah.
No, once I'm going into the game. It's okay, you don't understand. Okay? What didn't Tom Izzo do yesterday? Because Tom Izzo does not believe in it.
I'm guessing whatever hype went into their matchup with...
Hype? There's no hype. This is no hype. Zero hype. Hype is BS. Okay? He didn't double Edey because Tom doesn't double. And he scored 38 points, a career high. And they asked him afterward. He says, you know what? What I'm doing with him doesn't work. Because he has scored 70 points against Michigan State in two games this season. He had 32 the first time. He had 38 this time. All right. Well, Micah doesn't normally double either. But you notice what he did to Dickinson yesterday? He doubled. Hard doubles. Hen and Dorsey. See, this is what I think going into games. What does it take to win the game? I don't care about the fluff. And I've done big games in my career. Yeah, I don't go for all this stuff. I don't, you know, I'm looking at this like going, okay, how many quad one wins do they have? Okay, how many quad two wins do they have? You know, what's it going to take to get to the tournament? They're 5-5. They're 14-7. What's it going to take to get there? See, that's what I'm thinking. And I'm thinking about what this group is going to do, not what past groups did or didn't do. You hate working with me. Admit it.
You are a party pooper.
Because I don't play the game.
I mean, I'm into that. I'm balanced. I'm into that stuff, too, especially when we get to the actual game of it.
That stuff means nothing to me. Zero. I could care less if Andy Reid coached the Eagles. It doesn't matter to me. If you're an Eagles fan, you care because he gave you not just good years, he gave you great years. What'd you get, five NFC championship games in a
Correct.
Row or something like that?
It was four in a row, but five total, yeah.
Four in a row, five total, okay? And he got to a Super Bowl, and they almost pulled it off. I mean, you don't have Terrell Owens. He played, he got nine catches, but he was a shell of himself. And that's part of the part that's a crusher. When you got a key guy that, I mean, and let's give Owens credit. He may be somebody that has a big mouth. He may be a gigantic personality that rubs people the wrong way. But in that Super Bowl, he played. But they didn't have him at full strength, which meant they couldn't do probably everything they wanted to when Andy was there. You know, but he did a great job in Philadelphia. I got it. But that's not going to win the game. It's okay. I don't. That doesn't mean anything to me. James Franklin's going back to Vanderbilt to coach against the Commodores. I'm like, going, that's great. It's like, okay. Kirby Smart's going to coach against Nick Saban. Oh, here's the match. I'm like, going, okay, who does Georgia have? Who does Alabama have? I drive you nuts, don't I?
Sometimes, but it's okay.
That stuff doesn't win or lose games. That's my point. It doesn't win or lose games. Then that's, to me, what it's about. Who wins, who loses, and you know, what does it take to win a game? And I'm sitting there thinking if Penn State were to win on Wednesday, they'd need at least a dozen threes. Okay. And there are times where I've gone in thinking they need a dozen threes, they get a dozen, they don't win. Right. But see, that's how I think going into the game. Yesterday, I thought they would play Lundy on Bufkin and then put Andrew on Jet Howard. Andrew did it. You know, look, Jet Howard hit shots. Like, he hit his first seven. He is pretty good. He is a pretty good player. But then but underneath, do you realize that he only hit one of his last five? Andrew did a good job on him, you know. Once the Avalanche started, Andrew played another great game yesterday.
Yes, sir.
So, he is the perfect complementary player for what Penn State wants to do. He's not the star. There are nights where he can be the star, but he's not the star. Pickett's the star. But that was a big win for them yesterday. It was a line. Look, he drew a line in the sand after the Rutgers game. Right? I think I'll use Michael Henn's words. Wednesday's practice was a doozy. I'll leave it at that. They didn't practice Thursday. Then they settled in and got some work done on Friday, Saturday. They play well. And the schedule this time worked against Michigan. And again, when I talk about schedules, you know when I criticize something, if something flips the other way, I talk about it too because you want to be fair about it. For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.